since you went away, my day grows old, and soon out here I see no sun, but I miss you most of all, my darling. When the autumn leaves I start to
okay, and hello everyone. We're here at the Coffee Without Borders event in Helsinki, in Kallio. And I'm here because this is an event by the Free Movement Organization and also one of the publishing situation of the paper Signal that they have just produced and published a few weeks ago. I have here with me Aino Korvansyrjä. Hello, Aino.
Hello.
And I would like to interview her about the Free Movement Organization and about the migrant politics in Europe. So maybe you could first present us a little bit about the Free Movement Organization and tell us what it's about, and maybe also present the newly published Signal.
Yeah, this magazine, Signal, Writings on the Freedom of Movement, was just brought out last week, and it's the first issue. We hope it's not the last one. And it was produced during the Nine Gatherings project, which was a project just now concluded, run by the Free Movement Network. And Free Movement Network is a network working for the improvement of migrant rights in Finland since mid-2000s. And we have different fields of activity. Important one of those is critical knowledge production on migration issues. And we try to intervene in the public debate in Finland, and also when there are legal changes and so on, we produce statements on law proposals and so on. But we also run a cafe every 2 weeks. This is the cafe we're sitting now in, where migrants and Finnish citizens can encounter, and we provide information on different issues concerning migration and migrant rights. We also have a weekly advising hours on Mondays in Vallila, Päijänteentie, where anybody can get advising on permits and other issues relating to arriving in Finland and trying to get residency or work permit and so on. Yeah, and we have different kinds of organized seminars and so on. And this magazine is really part of that knowledge production, and we just wanted to expand this and provide it wider circulation, and then also bring other perspectives on migration to the Finnish debate, which are not really often given an outlet, because the dominant perspective on migration issues in Finland, as in other European states, is really the nation state, and migration is shown as a technical issue of management of migration flows and so on. And the perspective of migrant rights or the knowledge produced and experiences of migrants themselves is not really taken into account. So this was our starting point.
Maybe one more question about the concrete activities you have. Do you know if you have the same kind of activities in other cities also, or is it primarily in the Helsinki area that the Free Movement Network is working on?
It's mostly in Helsinki, but Markus can tell you more. Markus,
Hello, Markus. We also have Markus from the Free Movement Network arriving at the moment.
Hello. Most of our activists live in Helsinki area, but some people live in Turku and Tampere. And in Tampere, we have worked with local activists and arranged some events together.
Okay, so maybe we can now go to the, before going to the Finnish legislation or politics anymore, we could go to first talk about the European borders and the migrants on the at the European borders and also arriving or already inside Europe. What is the situation and what do you think is are the most difficult and challenging problems at the moment in the European level?
This is a very challenging question. I think it's way beyond my competence to answer this. But if I can answer from this point of view of being a co-editor of the magazine, one idea, a starting point was really that, okay, we have a European problem with migration and especially control of migration. And where we should look, what serves as a signal of this problem and also like points some ways out of it are really the movements of migrants themselves. And that's really, as I said in my presentation, it's like really movements in two senses, movements of migrants every day across national borders and political movements of migrants. And this is why we included so many contributions from these European political movements by migrants, which have intensified in the last years, because these movements have successfully managed to articulate demands and point out problems and also point solutions to these problems. So it's really those signals we should listen to and amplify and be aware and try to reach some conclusions based on those demands and movements. Yeah.
What do you think about the situation in Finland in terms of having or having not a political movement like in Europe or around the Europe at the moment?
Markus, do you want to say something about this?
Well, I think the Finnish situation is a bit different compared to Southern European countries or countries like Germany, because there's the amounts of people or migrants who live in precarious conditions are smaller, and so and the positions of people are very heterogeneous. There are asylum seekers, there are undocumented migrants, there are Roma migrants. They share similar problems, but live in different places, speak different languages. And I think that has an effect that it's harder to it's harder to organize if you have more people living in similar conditions with similar background. It gives more common basis to start organizing. And I think there's also in many countries there's a longer history of this different kind of migrant organizations and this grassroots organizing done by different migrant movements like in France or Germany and so on, Italy. So there are a lot of immigrant organizations that work also together with, let's say, asylum seekers. Many times they work in sort of it works based in the same ethnicity, so they work with the nationals, help people who come from the same country and find themselves in difficult position. But this kind of work is not so visible. But of course, there are some examples also in Finland. One was the hunger strike of the three Afghan persons in 2012, and also in this struggle about temporary permits, the asylum asylum seekers themselves have been active and then work together with Finnish activists and immigrant activists.
Yeah, and I also thought, like, to your previous question, like, what are the European problems? Because there are these very concrete problems which are similar across European countries, but okay, always particular in a given state. But there is the problem with the Dublin regulation, with the system that you should seek for asylum in the country you're first arriving in, and if you then set in your application in the next country, you will be returned to that country. This is a European problem, and this is, like, for instance, in the German refugee movement, it has been a demand concerning that this should be stopped, but also in many other places, in Finland, in Austria, and so on. Problem with deportations is another one, that there should be an immediate halt to forced deportations. This has been a central demand in all these countries, but also in Germany. Then there are several regulations restricting the movement of asylum seekers in Finland, but especially in Germany, there is the law called Residenzpflicht, which has been since the early 80s, that an asylum seeker cannot leave the area of the commune, group of communes, or the state in Germany to which he or she is assigned to. She cannot travel to another state in Germany, so the movement has really struggled against this. And then there are, like, restrictions on working, so in some cases you cannot work the first 4 years when you live in Germany, or yeah, in Finland also there are, like, many things restricting the practical ability of a person to work if you are seeking asylum, or yeah, it might be by law, but it might be also by other regulations or just the conditions that there is a practical working prohibition. So yeah, the German movement has really formulated many of these things in the German context, which is particular, and they have also managed to get this in national debate, and there have been significant changes, law changes in Germany just in the immediate aftermath of these protests. So, like, during the last 1 year or half a year, for instance, concerning Residenzpflicht and work permits and so on. But okay, obviously they are not the demands of the refugee movements were not realized as they were presented, so, like, critical refugee actors are obviously not satisfied with the legal changes that went through, but anyway, that they were done in the first place is a clear sign that this movement have also had success. Yeah.
Well, maybe we can then come back to the Finnish context and talk a little bit about the issues or problems that are particularly here in Finland at the moment going on. So maybe you could outline something about the Finnish legislation, what's going on at the moment, and what are the, like, major significantly Finnish problems concerning migrant issues at the moment.
Well, there are many different kind of problems. What's now is actual or currently important for us are the issues concerning temporary permits for those people who cannot be removed from Finland, and then questions about detention of foreigners and the situation of undocumented migrants in Finland. These are issues that we also discuss in the magazine. And the situation with temporary permits is so that the government made a new law. The law itself is about assisted voluntary return. And basically it means that government pays some money for asylum seekers who have gotten negative decision to go back to their former home countries. And now this system was integrated to the normal migration bureaucracy. It was formally it was made together with the International Organization for Migration. But this law also had changes in the foreigner law and this change is abolished the right for temporary permit to those people who have gotten a negative asylum decision, but who Finnish government can't deport. So people who don't have any permit in here, who don't have a right to stay in Finland, but the Finnish state can't remove by force. Police is not able to bring them back. And many people who are in this situation come from Somalia, Afghanistan, or Iraq. So those countries where there has been a war for a longer time, but the Finnish state thinks that some areas in these countries are safe for return. But these countries are not, many times they don't take in their citizens because they are not able to take care of the refugees who come back. And so this makes it impossible for the Finnish officials to bring these people back. In former times we had, until this new law comes to effect, we have had the system where these people get a temporary residence permit. And this permit allows you to work. In some cases you can study and start living normally in a Finnish city or Finnish commune. And there has been problems with this permit and this situation because the person status is a bit unclear with this temporary permit, but at the moment it's much better than nothing. People at least have a chance to later on to get the normal permit and they can stay in Finland and they don't have to, they're not forced to go back. But now this law change means that these people, if they do not make this agreement to return voluntarily and help officers with the return, they will not get this permit. So they will have no permit in Finland, and Finland still will not be able to deport them back. And this law change also means that they are not allowed to live in the reception centers for asylum seekers anymore. So this means that they will have no money, no access for housing, so they basically have to live as undocumented migrants. The only difference for situation of undocumented person in other cases is that they, if the police meets them or they get big, the police can only give them a fine because they are illegally here, but police can't deport them because the origin of the whole issue.
Okay, and what has been like, because this all sounds just purely insane, so what have been the, like, what is said in favor of the law? Why is this kind of law? I mean, it seems like there is no reason in it. So can you say something about the political situation that produces laws like this?
Well, there's but it's a longer sort of struggle, and the migration officials have for a long time had this basic policy line that part of the people who come from these crisis countries, from the safe areas, they want to somehow to get rid of them. It's a part of the overall policy that Finland doesn't want so many asylum seekers, and this is one way to try to get rid of the people. And arguments this time that also the minister, internal minister Päivi Räsänen used, that this temporary permit system is sort of gives an illegitimate way for people to stay in Finland, and it's because of this temporary permit more people come to Finland, and it's sort of a way that people used to get a residence permit in Finland, and that was basically the argument. But now the situation is there are now 200 or more people who have gotten now this temporary permit, and many, and it's, we don't know now what happens to these people, because there are many people who have been lived here as an asylum seeker like 5 years or more, and they have this temporary permit for the first year, and in the old system they could renew it, and after that they could get a normal residence permit. But now the government, when we asked from the officers what will happen to them, if they will be able to renew their permit or if they will be able to get the normal residence permit after this law change, but the officers said that they don't know. So it's and it's of course a really, really difficult situation now for these people, because as I said, many have been really a long time in Finland in this sort of permanent precarious situation without knowing what will really happen.
So sounds like an insane law with a lousy preparation. Always a good thing to have, especially when it concerns really people's lives and their well-being.
Can I say still something which I was thinking during when Markus spoke about the differences in scale? Because yeah, this when we compared Finland to Germany, German scale is just simply so much bigger. That, for example, this year in Germany, the Ministry of Migration expects from 250,000 to 300,000 new applications for asylum. So it's really a lot of people in that situation there. And the German particularity is really that people spend extremely long times in this camp system. So there are people who can spend really more than 10 years in these camps where they are obliged to live in. And there's a similar kind of thing going on there, which in Finland is the B permit, what Markus was talking about, and in Germany it's called Duldung. It's something different, but it really means literally it's not a residency permit, but it's a temporary suspension of deportation. And there are currently 100,000 people living on that kind of permit, which is not the permit in Germany. So it's really like big groups of people, and one of the demands of the refugee movement in Germany has also been to end this situation of rightlessness, because these people really don't have any rights. Like they are restricted in the basic civil rights. So yeah, they are just living under the constant threat of deportation, and most are not allowed to work or study or so on, and forced to live in the camps and so on. So this is like one issue concerning Germany. Yeah.
Well, maybe because we went to the numbers in German situation. Maybe you can say something about the numbers in Finland. I mean, to put it to some kind of scale, how many people are living, for example, under that threat, or how many asylum seekers, or how many undocumented migrants at the moment are there thought or guessed to be in Finland?
Well, in Finland, there's around 3,000 to 4,000 asylum applications made per year. So it's compared to Germany, that's very little, but also compared to Sweden, where there's tens of thousands of applications per year, almost 100,000. It's very little. Nobody knows exactly how many undocumented people live in Finland. Usually people say something about from 2,000 to 4,000, but it's quite hard to say, and we don't, and there's also unclear how many people now have this temporary permit. Maybe 200, maybe 400, because the officials have given different kind of numbers in different situations, so it's not so clear.
Well, what about maybe about legislation a bit more? Because we just had the situation that there was this law proposal on the healthcare that should be provided for the vulnerable groups, also for the migrants. and undocumented migrants, and it was struck down in the parliament just a few weeks ago, and there's been a lot of debate going on about that. So maybe you could say something about it, and also the kind of what's happening now, and what's happening to people that don't have access to any kind of health care.
Yeah, so basically in Finland you have access to health and social services through that you live in a city or a commune. You're registered in a certain place in Finland, and through this you have access to the healthcare services. And of course, undocumented migrants are not registered anywhere, so they don't have access to the normal services. But then in principle, and also what the government has said, everyone has access, should have access to emergency care. And now in Helsinki city people, Helsinki city has decided that all undocumented people, both sort of undocumented people who come from outside of the EU, but also EU citizens who haven't registered themselves or don't have health insurance, have also this, of course, access to emergency care, but then also if they are children or if they are pregnant, they have access to necessary care. And the government made now last autumn a proposal that in the whole Finland undocumented migrants who are third country nationals, so come outside of the EU, would have access to necessary care. So if they are pregnant, pregnancy care and also other care, if the doctor thinks that this person is going to stay a longer time in Finland and it's necessary to for his or her health, to give some more health services, then he would get them. So the doctors would basically will decide this. But now the government, this law was not accepted because the former internal minister Kari Rajamäki was able to stop it because of this sort of technical procedure, and it was never voted by the whole parliament. And there has been a lot of discussion of if this law itself was very good proposal, was a good proposal or not, because it excludes the people from who are EU nationals, who come from EU, so like the Roma migrants who don't have usually health insurance, they are included in the system in Helsinki. So, but of course, it's a bit unclear how this, how would the hospitals control this, who comes from inside or EU, if this law would have been accepted, because basically the idea for healthcare for undocumented people is it's anonymous. You don't have to show your identification because it's thought that the person doesn't necessarily have it. So it's not clear how would have the health officials controlled this and so on. And but it, of course, it would have given, possibly it would have given more healthcare for undocumented people than the Helsinki system, because Helsinki gives this more extended care only to people who are pregnant or are under 18. And, but it's I think it's quite important also to remember that in Helsinki things work quite a lot of through the Koba Clinic, which is a voluntary organization of doctors and nurses who gives free healthcare and is able then to direct people to then to official healthcare system if it's necessary and if they are entitled to it. And I think it's any kind of system will have to be this sort of have easy access to because people otherwise might be too afraid to ask for help, and people in not necessary in the normal health centers or hospitals don't know how to what to do in this kind of situations and so on.
Okay, I'd like to thank you both for this interview. It's been very illuminating, I think, and it will be very illuminating to our listeners also. But maybe I'd also like to ask one more question about what should and what could be done. I mean, people that are, for example, listening to this or otherwise been thinking what to do or interested and worried about the migrant issue in Finland or globally or around Europe. How can you, for example, participate in the free movement networks actions, or is there some other kind of networks or organizations that work on these issues that people could participate on?
There are many ways of participating in the free movement network activities, and you can even set up new activities if you are really like interested to come and join us. As I told you, we have like these different things going on, like this cafe, for instance, or advising hours on Mondays, or different kinds of other projects. Yeah, you're just welcome to join any event, and there you can get some more information. But me personally, I think, like, if you want to do something or participate in some way, I think also starting by informing yourself on these things is for me already like being active and like getting some other information than the normal thing, news on migration, which are like on the mainstream media, or if you open Helsingin Sanomat or a TV channel or so on. So I think like reading other stuff and talking to people, and if you meet migrants, talking to them and that, this kind of thing, I think it's the starting point to start to form your own perspective. So yeah, then you can also like think what to do yourself. Yeah, this is my idea, and this is also a starting point why we made this magazine, because we really think other kinds of information is needed on this issue. Yeah, other perspectives. Yeah.
Yeah, and if yourself are in a difficult position because of the residence permit regulations, or if you know somebody who is in difficult position, is afraid of deportation, or it's always possible usually to do something. You can contact us or and. It's many times if people organize together, it's possible to stop the deportation in some way, find a new way to stay in Finland. It's possible to very concrete way to do things. It's our network helps people in this kind of situations, but also a lot of private or individual persons help migrants in difficult situations. So it's even though it's hard to change the whole system at once, it's in most cases it's possible to do something even if the situation is very difficult.
My brain is a little bit fragmented today because I think this kind of grassroots helping or doing things despite of official restrictions, I think it's really important part of free movement networks work, but it's also a really important part of what migrants all over Finland and Europe do in any case every day. So this kind of participation is of course like a big thing. The other thing are the political political campaigns which Free Movement Network has organized, but which are also done by the self-organized refugee movements and so on. So yeah, there are so many different ways of doing things. So, and of course, there's you can always participate in making the new next issue of the magazine. So I welcome anybody who is interested to contribute with text, images, editing, designing, in whichever way. Just contact us and yeah.
Okay, I think we'll end this discussion here and go on discussing with all the people that have gathered here to this Coffee Without Borders. Thank you both.
I tell about this because the people came here because of the problem. Sometimes people came, they don't understand about the EU situation and rules. Mm. They don't understand nothing. When they came from there, they only know about the problem. They need to leave from their country. Sometimes they sell house, they take money, interest from other people. To come here, they have to leave because the agent take too much money. Sometimes agent bring to other country from Austria or Lithuania or something like that. They came there from come to Finland. Sometimes Finland came here, they check the fingerprint, okay, you cannot stay here, you have to go Austria or Lithuania like that. If go back there, the Austria or Lithuania or something, the small country, they never allow to asylum. They never give asylum. So they have to go back to country. So if the people go back to the same situation, they have more problem if go back to country. Mm. So that the people don't understand what they're going to do. Sometimes they kill themselves. Mm-hmm. They cannot do nothing. Even the family, all in outside. They don't have a house, they don't have nothing.
Yeah, so because they sold everything when they came.
They sold everything because the agent, they take
smugglers.
They take too much money to come here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's about 70,000 to 80,000 euro.
For a family,
Not family, one person, single person.
Wow.
17,000 to 18,000 euro. I came here, I give almost 16,500 euro.
Wow.
Because of my problem. Yeah. Otherwise, I don't want to come here. If that money, I can do good business in my country.
Mm.
It's really good business. I can bring the goods from China, I can sell. I can earn more money.
Yeah.
I don't need to come here and I don't want to stay in the refugee camp. I just have nothing to do in there. I will just eat and sleep.
Why did you come here?
Huh?
Why did you come here?
Because of my problem, I have a political problem in there.
Personal, or it's like for everyone it's difficult over there?
It's personal.
Personal?
Yeah.
You've been involved with the party over there?
I've been involved in the party.
Yeah.
Because I'm in UN, UNP.
Okay.
Now it's the other parties. It's more dangerous, it's difficult. Mm. Because I'm Muslim.
Yes.
So it's more problem for us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think, tell you. Because not only Iraq, Syria, Somalia, not only that country problem, every country have a problem. They have to check about that, all the country. Have to fare to give decision.
And you, did you tää haluatko sanoa suomeksi?
Joo, minä muutin Suomea Venäjästä ja minulla oli tullut ongelma, mutta ehkä tämä ongelma en iso ongelma, mutta minä I scared. Joo. Minä
pelätän.
Joo, pelätä, että tuolla minä voi, eikä kuka voi minun murhata, joo, koska joka päivä tuolla tulee paljon maaparaa. Yo. anteeksi, minä en hyvin puhun, mutta minä haluaisin paljon kerrotan teitä. Minä paljon
asiaa.
Joo, minä paljon teitä. Minä kaikki kerroitin minun lakimies ja migristaa. Minä kerroitin Venäjässä. Tuolla minun sanoin, että he teidävät. He teidävät että ongelmaa Venäjästä.
Joo.
Kaikki maailma tiedän, koska uutiset news. Joka päivä kautan ongelma. Tuolla on ongelma kansallisuus ongelma. Kansallisuus ongelma. Joo. Minä en venäjäläinen, minä armenialainen. Kuka muutin Kaukasiasta Venäjää? Joo. Tuolla on ongelma. Minä kristiallainen.
Kristitty.
Mutta minä kun menin kirkko, ihmisä luulin mitä muslimi. He haluan puskaits. Ei haluan asuin sisään.
Astua sisään.
Joo. Koska mitä minä haluaisin kautta minun risti. Minä kristillinen, joo, mutta kaikki puhuvat minun sinä mustia kasvaa.
Niin kaikki luulee, että sä et ole.
Joo, tämä on ongelma. Paljon ongelma, paljon videorooliki internetissä, poliisi ongelma. Minä en voi menin poliisi sanoi minulla on ongelma, koska heidän ei mielenkiintoinen minun ongelma.
Niin heitä ei kiinnosta sun ongelmat.
Joo. Minä voi lähteä minun paperi kaikki, kuka minä sain migristä ja lakimies. Te voitte lukea.
Ja miten ne sanoo sulle migrissä? Sä kerroit aikaisemmin, että mitä he sanoivat sulle migrissä?
Migrissä minun asuin, että he teidävät.
He tietävät
kaikki ongelma Venäjästä. Mutta he en voi auttaa minun, koska tämä on iso ongelma Venäjästä. Tämä on, en tiedä, iso ongelma.
Niin siis niin paljon ihmisiä ja niin
joo,
paljon.
Paljon ihmisiä. Ehkä voi mennä miljoona, 2 miljoonaa ihmisiä Venäjästä muuttiin Suomea. Että ongelma.
Joo, kyllä. Ja nyt ne sanoivat, että ei voi auttaa.
Koko, joo.
And you? You want to say something? Don't have to if you don't want to.
I know a little English, so I try to explain what I have mm-hmm. a problem, why I stand here now. Mm-hmm. Here, my action was started more late.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, my action. I have a special view to political situation in Ukraine, and I'm understanding this is process. Mainly problem Ukraine now it's not Russia.
Yeah.
It's Ukrainian politics who don't want. Do anything what stopped this war and killing people in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. It's this problem continued very many years. It's not problems today or yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's problem which created during many years.
Mm-hmm. Democracy problem.
In political crisis. Okay. Crisis it's created a long time because early Ukraine have many resources. Resources it's natural resources and producer resources and politics sell it.
Yeah.
So all people don't
profit.
Ощущать,
it's
action because politics obtain money for selling. Now when sell, politics it's politics take money from people. It's duty very most duty and now it's Ukrainian politics sell territory and life every Ukrainian. This is its situation. I understand and not now, it's very early. So my action started early.
Yes.
Most early. I was protest to last political system and new political system. It's system not change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Change only face. System staying old.
Yeah.
And it's not decide any problem. And now I'm here because I have with my actions it's created my problem with police.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Ukraine, especially police work with criminal, with politics. It's together one system, and so I have some problem. Before I come here, sometimes it was two months. I'm running to the Ukraine in different town because I'm waiting because my documents prepared.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do anything document. I find some people in Ukraine. I give him money how much he want, and they said me that some problems was when immigration give me document because it take a lot time. They don't understand why, and I don't understand why because, but I obtained this.
The passport.
Yes, document. No, passport. I have visa.
Oh.
I don't obtain lot time during I waiting. I have to live in another town, and when document was prepared. I must go across Belarus
mm.
because in Ukrainians who need to leave from Ukraine, he must go not Russia. he must go to another country, during another country. And so I go across Belarusia, and Belarusia and Russia don't have border. It's one economical country. It's different country politic, but economical it's one country, and no border, and we don't have any problem when we cross border Belarusia Russia, and from Russia I'm living here.
It's so you came from Ukraine to Belarus, and from Belarus to Russia, and Russia to here.
Yes, yeah. Yes, because short way was Ukraine, Russia, Denmark, Finland. More short way. It's my mainly problem in Ukraine. I work in education. I write in thesis. I have good work. I have some science, but a few days ago I obtained a letter from my leader, which I wrote in thesis, and he write me that I may, if you want to continue my work and send my results
to him,
to her, and that's way which I can continue my science work.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wait, I want to work this because it's education is my all life. It's my Amati and my Ukraine. It's a political activist, and my mainly work, which I obtain money for life, it's work in education. And my hobby, it's my action in from which I don't obtain any money. It's political activist, and so my short. It's short about my life. And
so how long have you been here? In
6 months, exactly.
6 months, okay.
Minä kolme kuukausi.
Okay, and you?
4 months. 4 months, 5 months.
Okay. Anna-Kaisa Kuusisto-Arponen, haluaisitko esitellä itsesi ja kertoa, että mitä teet?
Joo, eli mä olen Tampereen yliopistossa akatemiatutkijana. 2013-2018 ja mun tutkimusteemana yleisesti on pakotettu, lapsuudessa koettu pakotettu siirtyminen. Eli mä tutkin, minkälaisia kokemuksia lapsuudessa koetusta pakolaisuudesta tai muusta pakotetusta siirtymisestä on sitten myöhemmin näiden ihmisten elämänkulussa. Mulla on ollut kaksi tämmöistä, niin kuin projektissa on oikeastaan kaksi semmoista kohdennusta. Toinen on entiset sotalapset, joka tarkoittaa Suomesta, Ruotsiin, Norjaan, Tanskaan lähetettyjä sotalapsia toisen maailmansodan aikana. Ja sitten toinen osa liittyy tämän hetken lapsiin ja nuoriin ja erityisesti yksin Suomeen tulleisiin turvapaikanhakijalapsiin, jotka on alaikäisiä.
No millainen vaikutelma sulle on syntynyt näiden yksin tulleiden alaikäisten kokemuksista tästä Suomeen tulosta ja siitä turvapaikkaprosessista?
No mä ajattelen, että oikeastaan siihen liittyy niiden lasten osalta tietysti aika paljon epävarmuutta. Se, että ne ei tiedä, mitä niille tapahtuu ja käykö tässä hyvin vai ei, vaikka aivan pääsääntöisesti nämä yksin tulleet saa jäädä Suomeen. Mutta tietysti kokemuksellisesti se on hyvin eri asia, varsinkin kun ei ole ehkä alussa yhteistä kieltä. Käytetään paljon tulkkeja, totta kai näissä virallisissa puhutteluissa aina. Ja sitten myöskin ihan arjen tilanteissa, että saadaan niin kuin koulu ja muu järjestymään, niin käytetään tulkkeja. Mutta että sen, niin kuin sen, paitsi että niillä on sitten niin kuin aika erilaisia niin kuin matkareittejä, niistä ei ole kauheasti tutkimustietoa olemassa, että miten ne tulee, mutta Euroopan läpi saa kuljetettuna aika usein. Ja se aika siellä perhe tai ryhmäkodissa, niin se tietysti siinä tapahtuu jo paljon tällaista niin kuin sen hallinnollisen turvapaikan niin kuin järjestämistä, mutta siellä tapahtuu paljon niin kuin ystävyyssuhteiden luomista ja semmoista, joka on heille hirveän tärkeää tietysti sit sen niin kuin arjen jatkamisen kannalta. Ja mun käsitys on, että nuoret on aika tyytyväisiä siihen, että minkälaista apua ja hoivaa ja vaikka esimerkiksi minkälainen on edustajan rooli siinä niiden tuota arjen käynnistämisessä. Eli siihen niin kuin semmoiseen mä luulen, että tuota, nämä nuoret on aika tyytyväisiä. Mutta sitten toinen asia on se, että kuinka paljon se sitten taas kerta toisensa jälkeen toistuu ikään kuin semmoinen trauma, että joutuu jättämään ne tutut, joihin on juuri tutustunut, tai sen tutun asuinympäristön ja siirtyy taas uuteen paikkaan, aloittaa alusta, menee uuteen luokkaan, löytää uudet harrastukset, luottaa uusiin aikuisiin. Eli sitten taas niin kuin uudestaan se sosiaalinen verkko, mikä on vähän niin kuin lähtenyt kehittymään, niin muuttuu.
Onko sulla tietoa siitä, että onko heillä yleensä sitten niin kuin toiveena tai tulevaisuuden haaveena joku perheen yhdistäminen tai sitä kautta niin kuin, uudelleen näkeminen perheensä kanssa?
No varmasti niillä on ymmärrettävästi kaikilla lapsilla on niin kuin toive siitä, että ne sais sen jäljellä olevan perheen tänne, mutta tästä ei ole mitään tilastoja olemassa. Ehkä sitten Migrillä olisi jotakin tietoa siitä, näiden turvapaikkaprosessien kautta siitä, että kuinka monella itse asiassa on enää perhettä jäljellä. Me tiedetään, että on lapsia ja nuoria, joilla ei ole ei äitiä eikä isää eikä sisaruksia enää jäljellä. Tai sitten saattaa olla jotkut sisarukset, niin kuin osa ja äiti jossakin muualla. Ja toiveena niillä varmasti on, joilla perhettä on, että se perhe pääsisi tänne. Mutta käytännössä nyt tämä on yksi semmoinen, mikä on tapahtunut selkeä muutos sen vuoden jälkeen, kun Suomeen tuli paljon yksin tulleita sen 2008, on se, että lakia ja sen tulkintaa kiristettiin. Ja se on niin kuin täysmääräisesti tullut voimaan 2012, joka tarkoittaa nyt sitä, että kun aikaisemmin sen perheen yhdistämisen saattoi laittaa vireille se lapsi edustajansa kanssa, niin nyt se pitää tapahtua siellä sen huoltajan taholta. Ja siihen tietysti liittyy se, että pitää matkustaa Suomen suurlähetystöön, jossa sitten tämä laitetaan vireille ja jossa sitten haastatellaan niitä perheen yhdistäjiä ja ketä siihen perheeseen kuuluu. Ja se on itse asiassa erittäin suuri haaste näiden yksin tulleiden jäljellä oleville perheille, koska se vaatii rahaa, mutta ennen kaikkea se vaatii sitä, että sulla on jotkut dokumentit, joilla todistaa, kuka sinä olet. Osa näistä perheistä saattaa asua pakolaisleireillä. Niillä ei välttämättä ole passeja tai muita dokumentteja, että ne pystyisivät matkustamaan toiseen maahan. Koska toinen tämmöinen suuri muutos, mikä on tapahtunut näistä juuri näistä konfliktista kärsivistä maista, joista tulee paljon pakolaisia Suomeen, on karsittu sitä edustustoverkostoa. Ja silloin saattaa olla, että joutuu matkustamaan niin kuin toiseen maahan, niin se on mahdottomuus, jos ei sulla ole semmoisia papereita. Eli siinä on niin kuin monenlaisia tämmöisiä tekijöitä, jotka itse asiassa tekee lähestulkoon mahdottomaksi sen hakemisen. No, vaikka ne onnistuisi, näitä hakemuksia tehdään, niin sitten ne positiiviset päätökset on hyvin vähäisiä. Käsittääkseni 2012-2013 yksi perheen yhdistäminen tapahtui. Eli se tarkoittaa sitä, että se on oikeastaan käytännön mahdottomuus, että se perhe koskaan tulee tänne. Ja se on johtanut sellaiseen uuteen tilanteeseen, mitä ei oltu ajateltu silloin 2008 esimerkiksi, että nämä lapset pysyvästi jää Suomeen yksin. Ja että ne pysyy perheryhmäkodeissa useita vuosia. Jos ajatellaan 10-vuotiaista lasta, joka tulee silloin, niin se on 8 vuotta siellä. Eli se on niin kuin ihan toisenlainen tilanne kuin mihin oltiin ajateltu, jolloin tuli aikaisempina vuosina tuli ehkä enemmän myös teini-ikäisiä, tulee edelleenkin, mutta että silloin se niin kuin perheryhmäkodissa asuminen oli vuodesta 3 vuotta.
Okei, tämähän on myös ollut tällainen, niin kuin, mun käsittääkseni aika paljon poliittisen kiinnostuksen kohteena, että puhutaan niin sanotusta niin kuin ankkurilapsista ja sitten ehkä vähän pelotellaankin tällaisella perheen yhdistämisellä, että sitten tulee puolet kylästä, mutta siis ilmeisesti tällaista ei tapahdu.
ei, mun näkemykseni on, että ei todellakaan tapahdu. Ja itse asiassa nyt juuri tuota Lastensuojelun keskusliitto on laittanut tämmöisen lehdistötiedotteen 10. päivä juuri tästä samasta asiasta, että tota, näiden yksin tulleiden asema Suomessa on nyt niin haasteellinen tällä hetkellä, ja se lapsen etu sen niin kuin oman perheen kanssa elämisestä ei toteudu lähestulkoon ikinä. Ja että tämä on semmoinen iso asia, mihin pitäisi nyt puuttua. Ja kyseessä ei ole semmoinen ilmiö. Se oikeastaan tuli varmaan sen jälkeen, kun se vuosi 2008 oli, että media nosti esille näin, että nämä on ankkurilapsia. Mutta kun se tosiasia on, että siellä ei välttämättä ole edes sitä perhettä. Tai että jos niin kuin puolellakaan ei ole sitä ja osalla sit on, niin sit niistäkin tehtäisiin kuitenkin niin kuin sitä tarveharkintaa, että kuka niistä tai mitkä niistä perheistä pääsisi tänne. Eli kyseessä ei ole niin kuin mikään semmoinen tapa päästä tänne. Ja sitten ilmeisesti Suomeen on tälläkin hetkellä niin paljon vaikeampi saada perheen yhdistämistä kuin esimerkiksi Ruotsiin, jossa se edelleenkin tapahtuu, tai Irlantiin, jossa mä myöskin on työskennellyt näiden yksin tulleiden kanssa, niin siellä myöskin on edelleen se mahdollisuus.
Oliko sillä Lastensuojelun keskusliitolla jotain nimenomaisia ehdotuksia, että miten tätä tilannetta voi parantaa?
No, tässä näiden kannanotossa on otettu, lähinnä on niin kuin keskusteltu siitä, että on suuri huoli ja tästä pitäisi lähteä niin kuin selvittämään tätä tilannetta, että kun nämä lapset joutuu tämmöiseen niin kuin pitkäkestoiseen stressitilanteeseen siitä, että heidän perheensä on jossakin muualla ja että niin kuin paras kasvuympäristö sille, niin kuin sille ja kotoutumiselle myöskin. Sen, että se elämä jatkuu täällä Suomessa ja pystyy niin kuin pääsemään kiinni siihen arkeen, niin olisi se, että siinä olisi se perheyhteisö olisi lähellä, eikä esimerkiksi kypeyhteyden päässä. Ja kun sekään ei aina välttämättä ole mahdollista. Eli se, että millä perusteella aikaisemmin niitä on esimerkiksi hylätty niitä perheen yhdistämisiä, niin niihin he myös vaatii sit sitä niin kuin korjausta tai täsmennystä, että myöskin ne, jotka pitkittyneen prosessin, hallinnollisen prosessin takia ehtivät täyttää 18, olisivat oikeutettuja siihen perheen yhdistämiseen, koska sillä on niin paljon pidemmät vaikutukset.
Joo. No miten sä oot itse päätynyt tutkiin tällaista aihetta?
No, mä oon siis alun perin tietysti ollut kiinnostunut niistä vähän niin kuin tästä historiallisesta kokemuksesta näistä sotalapsista, ja on tutkinut myös siirtokarjalaisia evakkolapsia aikaisemmassa postdoc-tutkimuksessa. Ja sitä kautta sitten vähän sattumien kautta törmännyt tähän yksin tulleisiin ilmiönä. Ja sitten huomasin, että näissä on aivan niin kuin samanlaista kokemushistoriaa, ja se on kuitenkin semmoinen, mikä tässä hetkessä edelleenkin vaikuttaa näiden. Ja sitten oikeastaan semmoinen yksi suuri ihmetyksen aihe mulla on ollutkin se, että miten suomalainen yhteiskunta pystyy näin huonosti niin kuin reagoimaan siihen, että meillä on tässä hetkessä ihan samanlaisia sotalapsia kuin meillä oli silloin niin kuin toisen maailmansodan aikaa. Ja sitten tiedetään nyt jo tämmöisistä isoista sekä psykologisista että sitten kulttuurisen muistitiedon tutkimuksista, että se perheestä niin kuin erossaoloaika vaikuttaa hyvin monenlaisiin niin kuin elämäntilanteisiin sitten myöhemmin elämässä. Ja vaikuttaa terveyteen, hyvinvointiin, mielenterveyteen, erilaisiin asioihin, jopa perheen perustamiseen sitten myöhemmin elämässä. Ja siitä huolimatta meillä on tämmöinen tilanne, että Suomeen tulee yksin tulleita ja me pääsääntöisesti kielletään heidän esimerkiksi perheen tänne tuleminen.
Kiitos haastattelusta.
Kiitos.